Being born does not ensure quality of life, doesn't ensure character, doesn't ensure education, doesn't ensure learning. It just ensures birth. That's it. You're born. The process of growing up and maturing is a lifelong thing. And I guess just like any other child that sees what it is to be a certain age, I crave what it is to know Jesus in another way. Brother Mike, you're going to need to turn this down. It's just way too loud. Brother Philip, you can go ahead and put up the first screen. He's got it up. And I guess it is my own personal hunger. I'm just going to tell you right now. That's how I learn. I am compelled by my own life to dig out in this book. And that's what I give to you. I make no apology for it. The reason I know it is because I'm eating it. The reason I know it is because I want it. I am not interested in being a part of a group of people and adhering to their opinion, because I've already found out that people's opinions vary left, right, and center. And I just don't want to be pulled by that. I want something else. And in discussing the four faces of man, when the Lord showed me this, he showed me how to receive it individually. Then he showed me what happens to a church that's walking that way. The reason why we talk to you as individuals and then as a group is because if you practice individually what you're hearing, then as a group corporately, we will be unstoppable. Did you hear what I just said? The character of a church is just its individual people. If the people aren't spiritual, there's no spiritual church. It doesn't take a brain scientist to figure that out. We are, this church is you. That's how come if you're part of a group, it's just best not to criticize it. If you're part of it, you're part of the solution and part of the problem. And so I've said, Lord, you know, if you're going to do this, and the Bible clearly says that he is, he's going to do it because it's written all over the book. The whole book is a story about people who are going to get together and make an agreement that this is what they're going to do and this is what they're going to become. Just like the people agreed with one language that they were going to build a tower that reached the sky. They were of one mind and one accord in one language, and the Lord confounded them. If we grab hold of this, and I know I'm sent to the right people, because it seems like every service the Lord brings us in once again and gives us something to hold us, because he's developing character, his character. And I want to stay in that character. I don't want my character. I already know what mine is. And I'll deal with it. I mean, it's the vehicle. But that's like having a car that you polish and never drive. I'm not interested in the vehicle. I'm interested in the destination. It's just a way of getting somewhere. So as we look over this and we look back at where we've come from, this is the scripture text. I won't read it. You know, it's the story of that strange creature that's composed of four other creatures that Ezekiel saw on the banks when he was in captivity. That means when life is the hardest, God is there. That's what encourages me about this. Most of the old prophets that saw the Lord were in terrible physical circumstances, which gives me hope, because most of us don't have the luxury of life being easy. And then all of these modern conveniences, all they've done is give us more leisure time to get into more trouble. You are freer now to make more decisions about what you're going to do with your time. If we were living back in the early 17th century, there'd be no question about when you went to bed, and because there was not enough electricity, you'd go to bed with the chickens and get up with them because you worked according to sunlight. Well, now we don't have that. We've got artificial light. There's no lines, no boundaries, no nothing. And in this darkest hour, when there are no limits on what people will and can do and want to do, this is when the Lord sends this word. I'm going to make something in the middle of this. And so I invite you to consider the word of the Lord and the faces of these creatures. He said, each had the face of a man in the front, a lion on the right side, the face of the ox on the left. The man was the face forward, ox, lion, ox, and eagle. Last week, we reviewed the lion, the characteristics of the lion, the operation of a lion. And the Lord told me, he reiterated to me, this is your power. And it's interesting, it's noteworthy to me that when you receive the Holy Ghost, the first characteristic you receive is power. So that means we are to never be overrun by our flesh or the world or the devil. Because the night I received the Holy Ghost, you know, a little old tiny timber rattler is more dangerous to you than a full-grown adult because they have adult poison in a tiny body. And I think that the night that Jesus was born, I think when the angels sang, hell got busy because when he was a toddler, they tried to kill him. So you recognize that in the spiritual world, a child of 2 years old is a threat because of what he's full of. Did y'all hear that? So let's just lay the age thing to rest. Let's just lay that to rest. And the gender thing, the color thing, the creed thing, all that. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have power. That's the key word, power. And the Lord's going to teach us how to use our power through him. I just kept praying. I didn't know what else to do. It was hard to pray last night with that music. I'm telling you, I said, do y'all remember Manuel Noriega down in Panama? He was that drug-running dictator. Y'all remember him? Do you remember that the Army of the United States turned on music 24/7 in his ears and drove him insane? I said, I understand psychological warfare. Sheena was almost in tears at 10 o'clock. She was saying, Mama, now you know the Lord is just trying to show you how to behave kindly. By midnight, she came storming in my room and said, I've had it. I'm telling you, I've had it. At 1 o'clock, there was almost tears. She was working up, and I was just accepting. I mean, I was just like, this is a living hell. I'm in Dante's Inferno. I've never seen nothing like it. It was endless. In my room, it was the loudest. Just pounded through my bed, through my chest. I got up. I told my husband, I said, I tossed and turned all night, every joint in my body hurting. Then walked into this holy house to feel what it feels like to be Jesus. And he did that without cost. He's trying to teach us through our circumstances what it is to be powerful. Okay. Territory, the promises of God. Knowing what is written in the Bible, the marking of it, the defending of it, the understanding of it. This is how come I come to church. I need to know when something comes up untoward at me, how to handle it. The alternative is, I don't know if y'all heard this, I bet they don't do things like this in Ohio. Well, wait a minute. Yes, I do. The year we came, you had a man shooting people driving down the highway. Did you not? In Little Rock, not long ago, a couple years ago, two ladies were driving. One had some little kids in her back car. The back seat of her car, another lady cut her off, and she got so mad, she followed that woman to her destination, got out and shot her right in front of those kids. Now, you say, I'd never do that. You listen to me. That's the spirit that's in the world now when ordinary people have just had it up to here. The spirit of terrorism is all over us. You may not yourself be a victim of somebody else's terror, but you may feel mad enough yourself. You understand? That's what we're trying to control and combat. And at the same time, God said he gave us a spirit of power. At the same time, you can pick up the phone and call the police. At the same time that David's wife and children and all the camp was taken by the enemy, he went to the house of the Lord to ask a very natural question. He went to a spiritual place to ask for natural counsel. He said, do I go pursue? Do I go back and fight? Do I make this right? Do I stand in front of the school board? Do I go to the judge? Do I go to the police? Do I make a stink out of this? And the Lord said, go on. See, this is, you're not going to be able, you cannot in the name of Jesus Christ lay down and say, that's not right. Unless the Lord, you have to ask the Lord, what do I do? And he will give you the power to carry it out. There may be some things he's going to ask you to do in defense of your territory that you're not going to like. That's called soldiering. Most people don't really like it. From what I've heard, after the first kill, it's not pretty, and they wrestle a lot. Sometimes the Lord asks you to do things that are not in your nature, but he's given you the power of the Holy Ghost to do it. Sometimes you do have to walk over to someone and say, excuse me. just cannot hide behind Christianity. God gave you power. Say, that's what a lion is. See, and sometimes I think, I had to remind myself, I said, Lord, Pastor, did you just say something? Sometimes I think to myself, thank you. Sometimes I think to myself, Jesus, it looks like we're just getting run over. And I said that to him this morning in the kitchen. I said, I'm about tired of getting run over. He said, I'm coming back on a white horse with a sword in my hand. It's incredible power to withhold when you could slay. He's withholding now, but there's going to come a time when he's not withholding nothing. Do you understand me? So I'm not married to a weak, namby-pamby coward who's more interested in what people think about him than he is defending his own. I think I want to say that again. We are not married to a namby-pamby God who's more interested in what people think about him than defending his own. I want to give the Lord a hand praise for that right now. The key word is to roar. Last week we said, if you're going to be victorious, if you're going to power up, first of all, if you don't know what you're doing, you need to ask somebody. You don't need to just assume that you know. If you're in doubt, you need to ask. I don't know anything about Jesus. I ask 1,000 questions a week, I know. So what about this? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? And somebody was telling me the other day, why? Because I don't want to assume that I know what I'm doing. I want to get into this. I want this to be mine. This is real. This worked when they were surrounded by enemies, giants and Philistines. Well, tell me how that's any different than now. I'm surrounded. I got to know what's appropriate, what's right, how I'm going to do this. Identify your boundaries. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My boundaries are not a product of my opinion. I'm going to say that again. My boundaries are not the product of opinion. Not mine, not anybody else's. You do not determine your action based on public consensus. You have to know what the Bible says about things. It really doesn't matter what this culture says. It really doesn't matter what the middle of the road says, because they keep moving the road, and before long, the middle's going to be in the ditch. So you better not judge your actions by this culture. That's insanity. So the only place to go is to go back to the book, to read it in the book, and then let the Lord deal with your conscience. You cannot compare yourself to anybody else. You need to base what you do in your life with what the book says and how you feel about it. What the book says and how you feel about it. What the book says and how you feel about it. God has extended huge parameters to cover all kinds of people. There are some streets that some of us don't need to go down in Newark. I'm telling you, we don't ever need to go down those streets again. There are some books that some of us need never pick up again. There are some means of communication and media that some of us need never get a hold of again. Then there are some places that some of us need to go on a regular basis and not miss a service. I'm going to tell you something. Some people that have come out of certain lifestyles, it is death to them if they miss one service. Cannot do it, cannot do it, got to have the presence. Got to have it, got to have it. You cannot encourage somebody else in your liberty when you know good well it's going to be death to them. We talked about that. When someone has crossed your lines, identify how you feel about it, because you're going to feel violated. You need to nail that feeling right then and take that right to the Lord. Lord, then you need to find out who did it, how that happened. You need to think about that and say to yourself, am I going to let that happen to me again? Is the association with this person, do I regularly feel violated like this? Then I'm going to have to withdraw myself. See, I don't have the strength. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. One of the worst things that people of faith can do is stay in relationships that pull them down. You can be very polite. You don't have to walk up to somebody and say, excuse me, as of today, I'm cutting this relationship off with you because you pull me down. You can be smarter than that. You can be unavailable. You have caller ID? Use it. What are you doing? I'm defending my territory. I'm sorry. There are toxic people. If you're coming home dragging, If you're coming home weary, if you're coming home depressed, I can tell you something's happening on a regular basis. You need to identify it, and you need to find out who or what. It's a who or a what. If it's a who, you're going to have to start withdrawing. If it's a what, you're going to have to start putting up some fences. That's how you decide what's right and wrong for you. That's how you decide it, right there. Make clear to yourself and others your lines and maintain them. Hold your ground. It doesn't matter who does what. There have been young people who have made decisions and will not back down from them because they love the Lord, and God's going to honor that kind of steadfastness. He's going to honor it. They're building character. Your life is the place where you build it. You make a decision. The second, so God wants us to access that kind of power. And I believe through worship, God gives us an instant fix of power. You feel powerful when you're worshiping freely. Some of us need to get over our intimidation. Power is greater than your fear of what people think of you. And when you finally find your footing in God, you're going to stop worrying about what other people think. You've got to fight that, because that will be with you wherever you go. And if you can't feel safe in the house of the Lord, how in the world are you going to survive outside it? And just because one person doesn't worship like someone else, there should never be in this house that eyebrow raising, finger pointing. I'm going to tell you right now, that's Egyptian. It's called intimidation. It's called rule by intimidation. And it cannot be among us. It is a way of darkness. It's a way of letting somebody know that you didn't approve of what they did. Nobody in this house has any right to edit the way somebody else worships. Nobody. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. That is so holy to the Lord. Holy. 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 God allows us to access that wonderful spirit of power by the way we worship. And while you are worshiping, whether it's tears rolling down your cheeks or shouting like a Comanche or running these aisles or doing whatever, He is giving you an infusion without you even knowing it. And subtly, He's going to change your character without you even knowing it. It's not going to be a big deal. It's just going to happen. So that you learn to stand for yourself instead of falling for everything. But there's another side of God that He wants us to access. Now, some of us are born to understand power. Some of us are born to understand when people are trying to, what we call, groom us. One of these days, I want my husband to teach on that. It's a powerful dynamic that's used in dating when young men are trying to seduce young women, and every other possibility there is in the world today. People use that. They use power games. And the Bible said He gave us power to overcome that. But there's another side of God as well that we all need to know too. And just because you have the power department down, you may not have this one down. And you can't be complete in Jesus until you learn it. Say, thank you, Jesus. I just wish it weren't so. It'd just be nice to eat all one thing and nothing else, but that's not how you grow. The next thing that was on the left side, right side represents power. In authority, in the Word of God, the right hand of power. He raised His right hand, He's used His arm. But the left side is a different concept. Right side is where words and power defense, but left side is servant. And let's talk about what that means. The ox. Well, praise the Lord. Have you ever heard there are two expressions right now that leap to mind about an ox? Strong as an ox, and there's another one. Dumb as an ox. That's exactly right, and that is precisely what the Lord wants you to be. Strong and dumb. Strong means that you have something to bring, your energy. Dumb means you don't have to be in charge to do it. I was watching this doctor over here in this band. He's a very humble man. I noticed that about him. And I thought what kind of physician he must be. I thought about what kind of student. I just had a little slice into his life. He didn't know I was reading him, but I just was reading him left, right, and center. Here is a man who received an entirely different blessing because he was one of seven people in a team effort that he did not lead. But he had the joy of being a part of something. He submitted himself to that woman. He submitted himself to the cutoff. He watched her movements. Do you know what kind of strength it takes and what kind of security in yourself it is that you can just allow yourself to be used without always having to call the shots to be in charge? Say, well, I don't want to know what that's like. And yet, the description of Jesus Christ is so ox-like. He was so strong and silent. If it's so easy, then how come more people won't do it? See, it's one thing to sit out there. I've always said, the greatest leaders in the world, the greatest leaders in the world are the followers. Here's my analogy. I have two of them. You cannot lead where you won't go. There are so many people that have outstanding ideas, but they have no way of employing them because they've never submitted themselves to the learning process. I think I need to say that again. These are what we call couch coaches. Never played a game in their lives, but they can sure tell the coach how he ought to do it. Never been on the court, never gone through the process of learning, never taken any instruction, and never applied it on a daily basis. But they can sit there on the bleachers and criticize the players and the coach. Servanthood is allowing yourself, and see, this is what's so awesome about Jesus Christ. He demands of us that no matter what our position in the real world, that when you come into this house, he gives everybody here the chance to be strong and dumb. He gives everybody little old picky any chances to do a tiny thing where you just do what you're told to do. But you know what's happening on those days when we come out here and work, or you prepare something for a funeral, or you come to a prayer meeting, or you just lend in your body to something that you didn't choose, that you didn't make up, you're developing those characteristics. Virtues, unseen things. See? And there's something so powerful about that because you get the benefit. Who eats the first fruits of a field that's plowed? It's that dumb ox. Who knew how Jesus Christ performed the miracle at Cana of Galilee? The stupid servants who took the water pots, they understood something that nobody else did because they were part of the miracle. Everybody that is a servant of Jesus Christ, everybody that's born in the Holy Ghost, now listen to me, there are going to be people all along the way who are going to lose faith. The desert is littered with their half-mutated carcasses. They started out, they had a Jesus growing in them, something stopped them along the track, they got the lion part, they got one face, and they're faceless all on three sides. Because they didn't like the second one, which was service. I'm telling you that you and I are here because we've already pressed through. And God's going to do a quick work. It's not going to take him years to do this. He's going to do it fast. But these little things that we're doing, these little things, Zechariah, the angel came to him and said, do not despise the day of small things. I'm not going to have to spill my blood, probably, for the gospel. I'm just going to have to live for the Lord on a daily basis. Now, if roaring and worshiping and defending and fighting and spitting and fuming and accessing the power and reading scripture and fasting and glory to God in the highest and tangling with people. If you've got that down, there's another side when you have to be directed and yoked, partnered and submitted. Because oxen work in teams. Some people are great when they're by themselves, but they do not know how to team with someone else. Can't take directions, get offended. This is part of your character development, that instead of saying, well, I think we need to do this, and I think we need to do that. Now, I'm going to qualify that. I'm not saying there's not a time for that. But I'm suggesting to you that when Jesus Christ spent all those hours in prayer, he was not suggesting to God how to save the world. I believe he was just bowing his head and saying, what do I need to do today? Then he'd get up and do it, because it wasn't his show. And so he could do it without passion. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have an opinion on the subject. He just did what he was told to do. He didn't have an opinion. He just did it. Those oxen, they get in that. And guess what? In two oxen, there's always one who's a leader. There's got to be. But they're both dumb ox. And the beauty of it is, they're not driving at all. They're being driven. They're being led. They're just pulling. This is your daily life. This is why we have jobs. And I don't care how glamorous it is, there is no such thing as a glamorous job. That's why it's called job. It's still a job. It's work. I'll say to Caitlin, how was school? She'll tell me, I'll say, that's why it's called school. It doesn't matter whether it's Granville, whether it's in a ghetto, whether it's at home. School is school. And you don't like it. Why? Because you are buying into somebody else's program, lending your strength, and just doing what you're told. Your opinion's not asked. Nobody cares how you feel about it. Just do it. You know where you learn that characteristic? In your daily life. Now, if a lion implies territory, an ox implies field. You don't plow a territory. You plow a little place. That's your daily life, sweetheart. That's your routine, that thing you hate so much. That's 9 to 5. That's 8 to 4. That's make your bed, do your chores. You say, why am I doing this? Because you are developing the characteristics of a dumb ox. Say, why is it important? Because if you're going to lead, you must learn to follow. I'm going to say it again. If you are going to lead, you must learn to follow. And most people get extremely irritated and frustrated when they get the field and the territory confused. They try to roar in their daily life and plow their territory. A lot of people can't hold down a job because of that. They just can't stand anybody telling them what to do. It's not the job. It's that characteristic of, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to find a way around it. I'm not going to come under anybody. The wrestling with authority will prevent you from knowing this characteristic. You know what this produces in you when you submit to it every day? You get up when you don't want to. You do what you don't want to. I kept remembering that scripture. And they which are Christ have crucified the flesh and the lust thereof. There are a lot of things I do that I don't want to do. And I find that I have to do them on a daily basis. The idea of all leisure and no work, it's a myth. It's a fantasy. It's a lie. There is no such thing. If you want to eat, you plow. If you want the virtue of Christ in your daily life, you have to get up, humble yourself like a stupid ox, put the yoke on, and here's the thing. You say, I cannot do it. I've got too much passion. I feel like I'm wasted where I am. I'm doing this menial job, and I feel like God's forgotten about me. I know I'm smarter than this. I'm brighter than this. I'm better than this job, but God is using a stupid yoke to pull with you. He said, take my yoke. What's the implication if he says, take my yoke? What's he saying about himself? He said, I'm going to be a dumb ox with you. We'll pull together. We'll pull together. But Lord, I don't like where I'm pulling. Well, you know what? If you don't stay put and stay still somewhere and land and just keep taking it, you're not going to develop those characteristics. Oxen work in teams. Marriage is a team effort. Working at church is a team effort. Being somebody's employee is a team effort. God has given us places in our daily lives to do this team effort. I don't like it any more than you do. I don't like it. I'd rather eat chocolates and read novels. I'd rather prop my feet up and have something cold to drink and some servant fanning me with a big old palm tree. But it doesn't work like that. That's selfish. I'm going to get what I behave. Empty, vacuous, shallow behavior produces empty, vacuous, shallow character. Your daily life includes preparation, sowing, and harvesting. Now, if you want to be productive, whether you're a ditch digger, a lawyer, a banker, the principles are the same. Because God gives you one day at a time. Identify your daily life. What are you doing every day? What do you do with your time? See, I've often told this when I'm speaking to high school students because they're very, very aware of the differences between them. But I looked at every single one of them. I tell you, every one of you are equal. Not one of you is different from the other because you all have the same 24 hours. The difference is how you spend it. I submit to you that every single one of us in this house, there's an expectation every day of us. You have to ask yourself, what's expected of me today? What's my role? Once you decide what your role is, then you know what your responsibility is. How do you go about your job? Do you do it grumbling and complaining? That'd be like an ox bowing every time they put that yoke on him. See, and a field has just got to be planted. There's just no other way around it. It just got to happen. Do you know what the Lord said through his apostle? Do everything without what? Murmuring. He said, don't murmur. You know what he's talking about? Put on the yoke and pull. Pull. Say, I don't like it. Well, you're not pulling alone. You have a partner. Jesus felt exactly what you felt every day. And you know what astonishes me? I can't believe it. He got very little sleep. And he'd work all day on very little sleep. This amazes me. Identify what you have and haven't done. Say, well, if I had been born different, if my parents... Listen, baby, let me help you here. It ain't got nothing to do with your parents. It really has nothing to do with your spouse. It's all about you. I'm going to tell you right now, ain't no mountain, no valley, no person. You have the Holy Ghost. This is what he was talking about by faith. If you really believe, if I really believe what I'm saying, then if it's folding clothes, sweeping a floor, if it's being of service to someone, and when somebody comes to you on your job and they make requests, you have to stop behaving like you're the general when you're a foot soldier. You have to know that you're plowing. You have to let people tell you what to do, and you have to do it with a smile. You say, why? Because what you're doing is cursing the very place that's going to produce something in you. As long as you keep spitting that out, you're going to keep getting it back until you swallow. Do you understand now this is why Jesus said, can y'all drink this cup with me? He didn't like the taste of it either, but he drank it anyway. Why? Because he saw what it was going to produce in him. I'm telling you that if you will do your schoolwork as if Jesus was sitting right next to you. If you will walk into class with a sweet spirit and treat that teacher as if that were an angel sent from God. If you will treat the people that you serve in your service. If you treat the employers that employ you. If you act as if you believe what this says, because you're not doing it for the teacher, and you're not doing it for the boss, and you're not doing it for your husband, and you're not doing it for your wife, and you're not doing it for the kids, and you're not doing it so people will applaud you, but you're saying, God, I have seen something in that book. I want your character. Then God is going to reward you according to your faith. He's also going to reward you to your doubt. It's all about Him. It is all about Him. It has always been about Him. Now instead of cursing the place where God put you, you can bless that field and say, I own it, but I'm a servant in it right now. Because that's where God called me to be. And while you are serving, you're going to find some strength coming across those shoulders while you're pulling that yoke. The Bible said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And I know that all of us have a cross to carry, but we can't curse the cross that's building the strength in us to be Jesus. You can't escape the cross that's going to build your character. Say, I don't like it. I don't like it either. But that's one-fourth of what I am. How productive are you? What does that mean? Go back and read Galatians and ask yourself, how much love is living in me? How much peace? How much joy? How much long-suffering? How much meekness? Say, how much love? How do I measure that? How do you treat people? Love is all about your relationships with other people. Peace is what you feel when the world's coming in like a flood. Joy is what you do when you count it all joy. Joy is not for when you're having a birthday party and you're the center of attention. Joy is when you know that in spite of how difficult your life is right now, that some morning God's going to rise and your faith is going to burst forth like a flower that's been buried under the soil. That's joy. Waiting for something unseen. I have to be braggadocious right now. For the first time in my life, things I'm planting are actually growing. I'm going to tell you what, you would think that I am Miss Horticulture herself. I planted 12 hydrangea. No. What are they, Caitlin? Gladiola bulbs. And they're coming up and they're blooming. By faith, I stuck them in the soil. By faith, I'd water them every day. By faith, I covered them with mulch. And now my faith has finally produced something visible. You say, I don't like this place in my life. Recognize with me that the darker the night, the brighter the day. God is trying to rise like the day star in your life through your troubling circumstances. Raise your hands and let's thank Him right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you again my quest. My quest is not other people's approval. People are so fickle. They love you one minute and hate you the next. You know how they base their love? On how much they get out of you. My goals are not centered around numbers and whatever. I am so hungry to slip into the skin of that man who could roar in the temple, the last place you'd think he'd go and make a spectacle of himself. Slam tables to the ground in the presence of religious people. Raise his voice and holler and say, get out! Clear this house of your sanctimony and your thievery. The poor and the oppressed can't even get in to pray. And my house is a house of prayer. Then stand there meek while they slap the fire out of him and spit in his face. Beat him. Just to the point of death, but not quite. Then every day get up in the prime of his life when he should have been making big money and finding a wife and breeding and having babies, staying awake all night, crying his eyes out, praying. I'm intrigued, I'm mystified, I'm hungry, I want to know what that feels like. And I get little bitty chances. I'm not sent to go to Africa. We're sent to come to a work day on the 23rd and the 30th. Come to a funeral, celebrate somebody's wedding. Pick up a piece of paper. Come to a prayer meeting. Stand, sit three times a week. It seems like I ought to be doing much more, but you know what I have found is just all I could do to do that little bit. How about you? So the Lord's got to come down to where you're living. The hammer you swing, the keyboard where you type. It's not about the job you do. It's the job he does in you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Lord, I feel your presence. Oh. We want to know you. We want to know you, Lord, in your skin. Your way. We know you're coming. We can't go all run off somewhere to Jerusalem, stand on a mountain, and we can't do anything bold and disastrous like that. We're going to have faith that you take where we are and make us like you. This is what we've been living for all our lives. We don't have to go across the world to find ourselves. We've already found ourselves in you. Sometimes it feels like people don't even notice we do the things we do as unto you, because unto you we will reap the reward of it. You said if you stand up and announce that you've done X, Y, Z, that's your reward. I don't want that. I want the real thing. I want to roar like an ox. I want to know what it feels like to have royal blood flowing through my veins. I want to be able to curb my tongue, control my temper, and yet plead for the fatherless and the widow. Stand up for righteousness if everybody spits in my face. If I go against public culture, if I go against what other people say, if I stand up for folks that other people would pass by. I want to have that kind of lion-like strength. And then, Lord, I want to be able to put on a yoke and do somebody else's will and practice the art of becoming Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's my highest goal, and I failed miserably. Help us. Help us. I want you to just come and find a place. I feel his yoke. You want to serve the Lord? Let's just fill in this altar here. You ask him how you can serve him. I know what he's going to say. Serve me in your house. Serve me on your job. Bring me glory by how well you do your daily business. Till I come. Hallelujah. Steady as she goes. Strong. Hallelujah. To be thine.